Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, August 2nd, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Well, gold had a nice day today, certainly up another $12, roughly around $11.50 to $12 at $1,300. And $65, $1,365 for gold. Silver was up 18 today at $20.67. Platinum was up 9 at $1,170. And palladium is holding at $719. The USDX today was down 0.73 on the dollar index, making the dollar at 95.07. Crude oil was down another 45 cents today, another 45 at 39.61. And the paper markets today, a little bit of pressure on those markets. Let me go ahead and bring them up. The Dow was down triple digits most of the day. And let me bring this up quickly.
You need a new hand, Frank.
I do. I know. See, those that are watching know that I'm doing this program, so they just kind of, you know, make it go slow. The Dow was down 90 points, coming back a little bit from its three-digit losses most of the day, 18,319. The NASDAQ was down 46 at 5137. The S&P down 13 at 2157. 10-year yield popped a little bit, 1.54%, up 0.04. And the euro is still holding at 112 on the euro. And let's see, the European markets, you know, Germany was down almost 2% overnight. I just saw a little thing here quick where Venezuela is selling some oil to Jamaica. And it's going to, doesn't seem like a whole lot, but it's something, up to $4 million in the form of goods and services to Venezuela. I guess they're going to barter in exchange for food and medicine, farming materials, and building supplies. So,
how long before we bomb them?
Yes, really.
Bartering their oil for food.
Mm-hmm.
That'll get us couple of drones down their chimney.
This form of payment is part of a trade pact between the two nations. And
well, it's kind of interesting. Are they refining it? They say they're... I wonder, does Jamaica have its own crude oil processing plant? I'd be a little surprised if that was true. It's not impossible.
No, but Venezuela does.
Yeah, so they're actually sending gasoline or something like that. They're not sending crude oil.
I don't know what, you know, I'm sure Venezuela, I mean, I'm sure Jamaica uses oil other than just gasoline, too.
But I mean,
heating,
crude oil has
things
to be
like
refined.
That. I don't think there's heating in Jamaica, but I would think it would mostly be for, they really don't say how Jamaica is using the
Maybe they're
oil.
Using it to fry fish. Huh? How about that? Instead of frying them in olive oil or something like that? Fry them in crude oil?
Point is, you have these two countries that are trading goods and services, and I find that kind of interesting. And particularly that Venezuela has supposedly turned down assistance from several national or global organizations. But and I think everybody knows the difficult time that Venezuela is having. So I just found that as interesting. I just saw it as we were coming on the program and wanted to share that with the listeners. Alfred.
Well, I appreciate that. Speaking as one of the listeners, I am grateful.
I'm sure. Another interesting article I found today, I thought today the Pentagon has announced that the U.S. has begun conducting military airstrikes against Libya with the stated intent of defeating ISIS in that country. According to the Pentagon spokesperson, Peter Cook, he has indicated that this is the beginning of a more sustained U.S. air campaign against Libya and that each U.S. airstrike is approved by the U.S. Africa Command.
Well, impresses me. I wouldn't want them to just be bombing them without approval of the U.S. Africa Command.
And
now I know it's legitimate and justified.
That was one of the questions that was asked by one of the reporters about asking the Pentagon spokesperson under what legal authority these strikes were being conducted. And the Pentagon spokesman replied that they were authorized by the 2001 authorization for the use of military force. Now, this is a pretty, you know, this administration claim is an incredible stretch. You know, Libya was not involved in any way with the 9/11 attacks. However you view 9/11, even by the U.S. government, Libya was not involved in any way by the 9/11 attacks. So,
yeah, but they're probably only couple thousand miles away from Saudi Arabia. So instead of bombing Saudi Arabia, which was involved, we'll bomb Libya instead. How about that?
No, you don't hear much discussion on what is going on in Libya. Yesterday, it was announced that Libya's national oil company was going to resume exports of crude. It was halted for months because of political differences. And last week, the oil installation guards announced the reopening of two major export terminals after an agreement with the Tripoli-based Government of National Unity, the GNA. However, I guess there's this other branch, the other part of the oil situation. They rejected the deal. He says they will not accept that oil is exported under these conditions, as there will be no guarantees of a fair distribution of income or assurances that the funds will not fall into the hands of militias. Oil is Libya's main natural resource, with reserves estimated at 48 billion barrels. Is it a coincidence
that they're bombing today, the one they are supposedly starting to ship out or export oil again?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a coincidence, or is that the real reason? Is that also justified in the 2011, whatever it was? Any country that exports oil is eligible to be bombed.
Or are they bombing in response to the Eastern Base National Oil Company that does not want to, that is refusing? It is not going along with the agreement, that they're rejecting the deal between the GNA and the oil installation guards. So, you know, is it because they are producing oil, or that they're going to begin shipping oil, or is it because of this the second part of this, the Eastern-based National Oil Company that has rejected the deal?
So, I don't think they're bombing them because they're refusing to, they're refusing or unable to ship oil. I think they're bombing them, if anything, it's because they are, or they plan to in the near future. This ought to inhibit them a little bit. This will help hold the price of crude oil up.
That means the U.S. would be going against the U.N.-backed government. You know, the government that they have in Libya is a unity government, a U.N.-backed government, then the U.S. would be going against.
That's assuming the U.N. government is against bombing Libya. The U.N. government is just U.N.-approved government. It's just it's against bombing the U.N.-approved government. Right? That much we can pretty much count on, but the rest of it, I don't know. It's kind of optional. Maybe they're against it, and maybe they're not. Thin the ranks of the opposition a little bit. You know what surprises me? We are bombing them to get ISIS. But for the most part, we haven't been able to get over in Syria, which I assume, I don't know the mileage, but 1,000, 1,500 miles away. How did ISIS get all the way from Syria back to Libya to hide out in Libya?
There was no ISIS prior to 2011, before they whacked Gaddafi. I know.
I don't know. They're bombing some people over there, and God only knows why. They say, oh, we're bombing them because they're ISIS. See? That makes it okay. Really? You know, how do they even know? Do they have little identification cards? They carry little green cards in their wallet to, you know, don't leave home without your ISIS ID? I don't know what they're doing. It's just, it's the sort of thing that makes you wince. It's the sort of thing you sit back and you wonder what's happened to this country, what is happening to the world. I saw a report from one outfit, and I've probably got it here. I may have mentioned it before. There are only 10 countries in the world that are not in, according to that report, there are only 10 countries in the whole world that are not involved in any kind of civil war, internal disruptions, or foreign war. All the rest of the countries in the world are, to some degree or another, engaged in some kind of war. Some of it's minor, but war nonetheless. My God. I mean, you look at this and I can sit here and kind of smart off and make, you know, peculiar remarks about what's happening. But the truth of the matter is, it's all a little bit scary, or maybe a lot scary. When you have people who just take it for granted that they can bomb any place they want to bomb whenever they feel like bombing it, right? For reasons, I don't know, just throw a dart at the board and, hey, let's bomb Cuba. We haven't bombed them in a long time. How about Mexico? You know, we really have a river. Canada, we can get them, you know. Why not? Just bomb. Or, if you like, how about Chicago? Bomb Chicago and put them out of their misery. The whole thing is becoming mad. It's becoming insane. It's becoming wicked, where the violence just proliferates and proliferates, and without obvious reason. I don't know what the reasons are. At times you look at it and it is as if there are people in positions of power who really don't care who they're killing as long as they're killing somebody. What are they fighting for? Do any of you listeners have the clear idea that your government is fighting a war anywhere on the face of this earth on your behalf to do you any good? I don't. You know, we've heard George Bush, when he was in office, we're going after Iraq because they hate us for our freedoms. See? The only people that are taking my freedoms away are the people in Washington, D.C. and the state capital of Texas. I don't have a problem. The Iraqis didn't do anything to me. Iranians haven't done anything to me. The only people that are threatening my freedoms are right here in this country, and they give us this cock and bull story about they're fighting. Thank a soldier, they're fighting for our freedoms. Yeah? Name two freedoms that were threatened by Iraq or Libya or Syria. What are we doing there? We're killing people, but what for? It has nothing to do with American freedom. It has nothing to do with protecting the American middle class and the vast majority of the American people. We are serving certain special interests who pay people money, apparently like Hillary and Bill and the Clinton Foundation. They get money to do what? They're hitmen. I mean, the evidence is emerging more and more that Hillary is happy to function as a hitman where she was while she was Secretary of State. You give money to the Clinton Foundation and she will cause people to die or whatever. And you look at it and you think, how long can this go on before we start to see mushroom clouds in our own backyard? Somewhere there should be cooler heads to prevail. Somewhere there should be people who really don't want to get involved in all these idiotic wars. And yet they continue. You have to wonder, you look at it and say, my God, what is really going on? You know, sort of thing where for those of you who believe in end times, what we see is certainly looks like it may be consistent with end. I'm inclined to believe we are approaching that. And certainly you look around, see the evidence, see what's going on, and say, you know, maybe this is it. But I'd like to see a world where it was more rational, more objective. If someone's going to bomb somebody, I wish they would produce a decent and honest explanation. I don't know that they ever have. War is all about deception. I don't know. Have we had an honest war in my lifetime? Did we ever know what the truth was or why we were getting into the war? I'm not sure if we ever did, but at least they tried. They had enough respect for the people to tell us lies that we could believe. Now they just do things. I don't care whether you believe the lies or you don't believe the lies. You know, just proceed. So it's disturbing to me, and they make my wisecracks and whatever.
And that's just it, Al. I just don't bring this up for wisecracks. It's important. It's dangerous. And, you know, it's... And when you think about all the wars that are happening, the disturbances, it's like the U.S. is involved in the majority of them.
I know. We're at the center of most of the trouble.
We're at the center of most of it. I saw an article right before the program. You know, most people in Turkey believe that coup was backed by the U.S. The U.S. had something or a major play in that whole situation when there was a coup against the president. So... You know, it's like we're everywhere, and we're stirring everything up.
I understand. And what for?
And what for?
What do we get out of this? At what point in time do people just say, maybe we should mind our own business? You know, don't we have enough problems in this country without going up and stirring up hornet's nests on the other side of the world? Isn't there enough trouble here to deal with?
And what's funny is we used to go out, correct me if I'm wrong, which I'm sure you will. I mean, if we went after a country, if we bombed a country, it was because they did something wrong. They were invading another country, another sovereign nation or something. And you could actually see, well, yeah, you know, maybe we'll go. But that's not even the case anymore.
Well, it used
that's
to be.
That's not even the case.
We used to be able to think of ourselves as the good guys, right or wrong. Maybe we were deceived, but we could think of ourselves as the good guys. All right. And it is debilitating to the nation to keep getting into these messes, these problems. I mean, how do you continue to justify the idea, we're the Americans, we're the good guys?
We're not.
Anymore. We're not bombing people because we have a moral right or a moral imperative to do so. We're not the good guys. We're just the guys who have the best bombers. We bomb them because we can. That's all. It doesn't have a moral. There's no moral justification. We can do it, so let's take a commercial. Couple of them. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, I'm back to one of my specials, my little specials, with a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle and 20 Silver Eagles. Price has really, it's skyrocketing, and this little package, it includes your shipping costs, is $642. $642. It wasn't that long ago. It was $100 left. So nice rise in gold, both in gold and silver. 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, 20 of the American Silver Eagles, and these are 2016s. Includes your shipping costs for $642. If you'd like to replace that 1/10 ounce Gold Eagle with a 1/2 ounce or 1 ounce, you can do so. We'll just adjust the special price for you to accommodate those coins. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com and make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter.
You know, when I was a kid, people used to talk about a mortician's sense of humor. And I'm sure they still do in places and at times and rest of that sort of thing. And the idea is that as a mortician, you deal with these dead and sometimes mangled bodies. Right? It's pretty grim work. And you can only do it for so long before you start laughing about things. Right? And things that most people would regard as gruesome. All right? You start, oh, that guy, he's almost got his arm ripped off. The nature of the work brings that out. Well, you know, there are times when we make reports on this radio program where I at least wind up developing a kind of mortician's humor. You see some of this stuff, and you laugh at it in part. It's a kind of self-defense mechanism. And it's not apparently just happening to me, it may be Melody. We see it. Here's Newsmax. Newsmax is a credible news source. Huh?
Fantasyland.
Yeah. And their headline is, gold is an obvious trade in this freaking fantasy land. I get the impression the people at Newsmax are looking out the window just as we are, looking for things to report in the news and just shaking their head in bewilderment and amazement and saying, my God, what is going on here? Gold is an obvious trade in this freaking fantasy land. It's from Newsmax. And part of the article says Japan may cancel its debt. Not? The debt problem is most acute in Japan, where the debt-to-GDP ratio is now about 240%. Japan was insolvent in a debt-to-GDP ratio of 120%, so the rest is just gravy. Oddly, interest rates across the curve are negative, so it's not like anyone worries about default. I mean, and the Bank of Japan has bought up the majority of the bonds, so now most of Japan's external debt is actually owed to the Bank of Japan. Now, what they're proposing here is the Ministry of Finance. So what if the Ministry of Finance simply defaults to the Bank of Japan? This, in fact, is being seriously considered. The Bank of Japan has bought up all the bonds, just as the Federal Reserve has bought up most of the government bonds, or at least the recent ones. And what if we just say, we're going to pay them. Huh? How about that? And then the Bank of Japan is going to go broke. And the Federal Reserve in this country, if we did it here, that would go broke. All right? They would be admittedly bankrupt. And the government would be out of debt. We have to destroy and sacrifice our central bank. But the government, in theory, could be out of debt. This article continues. It says, basically, it's been suggested that governments swap out all those bonds that are currently out there for one giant perpetual zero coupon bond. That means no maturity. That means we take a bond for $1 trillion. Okay, here, I'm going to borrow $1 trillion from Melody, and I'm going to give her a perpetual bond. This is a concept that's been around for now about 30 days or so, talking about perpetual bonds. They pay no interest, and they have no maturity date, which means Melody gives me $1 trillion, and I give her a piece of paper that guarantees she will never be paid. She'll never collect any interest on this bond. She'll never be able to redeem the bond and get her capital back out. Now, for most people, that'd be a terrible thing, but the Federal Reserve or central bank could do it because they can spin the cash out of thin air. All right, what difference does it make to them? It doesn't cost them anything. It costs them a nickel maybe to make a $100 bill, and it doesn't cost them virtually nothing to make digital currency. So the central banks could do this. They could agree to go along with this, and we just sell all. It would be like dumping our toxic assets. During the Great Recession, we had toxic asset. What was a toxic asset? It was a bond, a stock, some sort of a promise to pay, a debt instrument that couldn't be paid. They called them toxic assets. No, they weren't. They were evidence that somebody was bankrupt. That's what it really was. But in any case, what did they do? They put them all over the Federal Reserve. So far as I know, it was the Federal Reserve that collected these toxic assets and put them in a nice little container. And we're not going to talk about them anymore. They paid for them, and in doing so, they allowed the entities holding them to stay apparently solvent. We're going to pay you $1 trillion for that worthless piece of paper you have, and then you can maintain the fiction that you're still solvent. That was essentially the idea behind buying toxic assets from corporations and banks and whatever. What they did was essentially monetize and eliminate that failed debt. They said, "Oh no, this is still a real bond. This is this. We call it a toxic asset, but it's still an asset." No, it's not. It's like Confederate money. Understand? It has no intrinsic value. Any case, Japan is talking about doing something like that. And it doesn't surprise me that they are talking about canceling their debt. I've been telling people for at least 5 years, maybe 6 or 7, I don't know, what can't be paid won't be paid. The big objective right now is to figure out how can we get rid of the debt? How can we get rid of the debt? Because it can't be paid. The American debt is, the national debt is never going to be paid. And we can't, and it's impinging on government's ability to lend, to borrow more currency. If we could just eliminate, we can't pay the debt, so how can we get rid of it? Well, what Japan is exploring is the idea that they could issue some sort of a giant perpetual zero coupon bond with no maturity, which, according to this article, is the same thing as canceling the debt. And as it goes on, it says, Japan is not the only country at checkmate. Italy is also stuck, as is most of Europe. And we will be someday, too. No, we already are. We have certain advantages where we don't have to face reality yet, but we're already bankrupt. If Japan cancels the debt, it will set a very important precedent. It will also disincentivize people from ever buying government bonds again in the future. So they conclude, we live in a freaking fantasy land where anything goes. Similar sentiments were expressed in Weimar Germany. The obvious trade here is gold. Why don't you just say, look, they're saying if you got any brains, get some gold. The rest of this stuff is lunacy. And sooner or later, all of the lunatics are going to get caught howling at the moon, but they're not going to have their paper debt instruments will turn out to be worthless. Again, the obvious trade here is gold. But they've got to do something with the debt. And it's not easily done because in a debt-based monetary system, as we explained yesterday or maybe the day before, if you cancel the debt, you cancel out all the correlative paper assets. If they canceled $20 trillion worth of debt, they also wipe out $20 trillion worth of bonds, U.S. bonds, that are currently being used as assets in banks to justify lending currency out to people who want to buy a new house, buy a new car.
Yeah,
the whole thing is lunacy.
Yeah, I don't believe it's about that anymore. I believe it's about the currencies. And there was a meeting. Central bank officials met on Monday in Indonesia, and they're floating around a new currency system. And they met on this on Bali on Monday, central bank officials from around the world to swap ideas on how to address global economic and financial risks. What's funny is the takeaway was it's time to start thinking outside the box. Well, to me, I thought negative rates was thinking outside the box, but they need something else.
No, they need something outside the solar system. Yeah. When they refer to something outside the box, they don't mean just go out down the block. It's got to be outside the solar system, and then it might work.
But policymakers from Switzerland to the Philippines agree that the conventional monetary policy alone is no longer enough to manage the growth. They debated inadequacies in the current global financial safety net system. The outgoing Reserve Bank of India reiterated his proposal for a new permanent liquidity facility, building on the dollar swap lines that were established between the Federal Reserve and a selection of central banks after the 2008 financial meltdown, to ensure funding during emergencies. Folks, they're planning on it.
Yep.
You know, they want to try the same thing that worked in 2008. Well, that's not going to happen. He says, longer term, we need some agreement between the fund and major central banks. You know, you got these countries. They didn't say the U.S. was there. They said central banks, Switzerland, Philippines, India. You know, these are all countries that, you know, they don't have, I'm not sure they have a pot. So, I mean, they're going to be looking for help from these major central banks. You know, they know they have to address these currency problems that they have. And, you know, here they are trying to outthink, you know, the something. How can they change the world global monetary system?
They can either abandon it or they can die with it. That's what's happening here.
Well, they're going to have to change it.
They can't just change this. They have a debt-based monetary system, and the only thing they can do, I believe that is the core of our problem. It is a debt-based monetary system which is funded and fueled by mere promises to pay. That's all a debt is a promise to pay. If we had an asset-based monetary system based on gold or silver, that's based on productivity. I can't give you an ounce of gold unless I have produced enough to earn it. I can
believe...
make promises. I can promise you all, vote for me and I'll see that you all get $1 trillion a month.
Agreed, Al. There isn't anything that's going to work unless it gets backed by gold. You have central bankers at this conference. They listed how the economic landscape is increasingly becoming more complex. It's being influenced, supposedly, by outside influences. They talked about terrorism, geopolitical risk, political shocks, you know, which I'm sure they were referring to here in the States with Trump. What was interesting, though, is there was another issue that drew concern among the attendant policymakers, and the Federal Reserve Bank of New York President William Dudley was among those offering a defense. And this is just shows you their minds. He says, when he thinks about globalization, he thinks about the hundreds and hundreds of millions of people who have been lifted out of poverty over the last several decades. He can't see how someone can legitimately say that globalization has been a bad thing. Well, Mr. Dudley, what about the hundreds and hundreds of millions of people who were put in poverty as you were trying to lift other people out of poverty? What about those people?
How about the millions that have been killed by bombing?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, it's just
far
like
from a worker's paradise,
folks. You know,
it's not over.
It's not over.
All right. We'll see about the benefits of all this globalization and new world order. You're going to find out about that, and I'm going to find out about it, and we're going to get into it intensely in the future when it comes home to roost and we start shooting out the windows of our homes. And I don't mean shooting out our own windows. I mean shooting at people out on the streets.
Wow.
This is an insane system. You know, what's wrong with that meeting they're having, Melody? It's in Bali. You understand? I might take it seriously that they were having a meeting if it was in Siberia. All right? Send them off to some place that's cold and desolate and make them work at it. They're going to some place where the people run around half naked.
Yep.
All right? A tropical paradise, and they're going to save the world. We're going to save the world while we're meeting in a tropical paradise. Gotta lock them in a crate at the bottom of the ocean and tell them you're not coming up to the surface until you come up with a plan. And the problem they've got is, from my perspective, I am convinced that it's the debt-based monetary system. And that's the heart of the whole New World Order. That is the cause of the problem, and it's the heart of the New World Order. How they can't get around this without giving up globalization and a New World Order. They can't get around it. They have to try to, how do we keep a debt-based monetary system operating when we know very well it's the cause of virtually all the trouble that we're having right now?
But that's their dilemma. But in order for their agenda to be met, they know exactly they need to collapse it. That was the whole point. By bringing all those people out of poverty to create an even playing field across the world so that they could create the one world government, the one world religion, the one world currency. And, you know, it is all part of that agenda of globalization. And it is a bad thing. And it's not
a terrible thing for the Western world.
It's
a terrible thing for the government, for the people of the United States of America.
So that's where these Federal Reserve people are thinking. It's not about what's happening here in the States. It's not about protecting our money. It's not about protecting our currencies. It's not protecting our economies with their little adjustment rates up and down to make think the world revolves around the little interest rates and Wall Street. It's all about the globalization and completing it. The Federal Reserve doesn't work for you. It doesn't work for the Federal. It's a private corporation. They absorb that debt. What are they going to do with all that debt, all those bonds that they absorb? Do you think they're actually going to pay on them? And yet your 401s out there, I'll guarantee you have 25%, maybe even 50% of bonds in your retirement accounts.
Which means you've got 25 to 50% of promises from people who've made so many promises, they can't keep all their promises. Your 25 to 50% and bonds is in jeopardy. Let's take a break for some commercials, Melody, and we will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk, and here's Melody Cederstrom, and we are Financial Survival. And here's an article from Newsmax, again, credible source. Headline is, "The Fragile U.S. Economy Now Facing a Slowdown in Building Boom." Construction has been one of the few pockets of strength in the U.S. economy until recently. Construction payrolls have declined since March, and spending in May rose less than 3% from a year earlier, the lowest rate since 2011. Coming after supercharged growth of 10% last year, the question now is whether the sputtering housing industry, construction industry, is just a blip or if it's something more lasting that portends a significant drag on the economy. Adjusted for seasonal fluctuations, the number of people working in construction dropped by 22,000. Since hitting a post-recession peak in March of about 6.7 million, it was the first time the job count had dropped for two straight months since 2012. Construction spending still has room to grow. As a percentage of the U.S. economy, it was 6.4% in the first quarter of this year, below the 50-year average of 8.3%. Right? That's like 25% off, roughly, compared to what it has been the 50-year average. And while housing starts have rebounded slowly to 1.1 million last year from a 2009 low of 554,000, they remain well under a rate of 1.4 million a year since the 1960s. So it just tells the guy, look, construction, housing, not doing as well as it has in the past. Is this a blip? An anomaly, or is this evidence that the economy is starting to tank? Melody.
Well, I think we're definitely seeing, you know, the economy slow in various places. And again, there's segments of the country that might be doing very well. I think I mentioned it last week, Tennessee. They're booming down there. They're having price wars on homes. You know, the home comes on the market and it's gone within 24 hours. So people are paying and bidding prices up in Tennessee. There's construction everywhere. Hey, let's go to central Pennsylvania. What do you see there? Probably not the same thing. Let's go to some of these other areas. Are you experiencing the same thing? No, you're not. West Virginia, let's go to West Virginia. Same thing? No, not at all. So, you know, whatever reason, we saw the same thing in the Dakotas with the oil when the oil was booming. You know, you saw towns, they didn't have enough places to keep people. Short-lived. And I think what we're seeing in these sectors across this country, as far as where you see some good growth, and I wish it was true. I wish this country was experiencing a strong comeback. But it's not true.
I know.
It's not true. It's not like I sit here, enjoy talking about all the gloom and doom that's happening across this country and around the world. You know, but I do see what we talk about as the truth. And I do think a lot of people are going to be devastated in their finances. I couldn't sell gold if I didn't believe in it. I can't sell ice to an Eskimo. That's not my job. It's not my job to sell anything at any time to anyone. It's not my job to manipulate people. I can't do that. But I do understand the fundamentals of gold and silver, and I believe in it with all my heart. And I also believe I'm here for a reason. I believe these programs are here for a reason. I believe I've been able to continue to support these programs, that there is a reason. So again, I don't want to sit here and just bring gloom and doom to everybody. But this is, I mean, people's lives are going to be lost. Your livelihoods are going to be lost. And that's what I don't think people get. It's hard to vision that when you have, you get your quarterly statements and, hey, well, we're getting pretty good highs, returns. These dividends are great. You know, that's just the facade. That's
part
just
of the
illusion.
Part of the reason we talk about, you know, we have stories that are not necessarily conducive to laughter and optimism. We're trying to do that from just to give you a perspective from 180 degrees, 360 degrees. We're trying to say, look, here's evidence. Here's more evidence from a different perspective. Here's another perspective. More evidence. It's difficult, and it's not just a bias on our part. It's difficult to find anything that can be construed as positive evidence and say, yay, yay, that's cause for celebration. And yay, we're finally finished with the recession and the recovery is here. No, it doesn't appear to be, and it doesn't appear that it's going to be. And there are huge consequences if that's true. And the consequences, I mean, they're going to be difficult for millions and millions of people. And when I say difficult, I mean difficult may be a kind way of looking at it. They may be tragic for millions of people. Right? And we're trying to give you evidence from a number of different perspectives that says when you put it together, it's very difficult to avoid the conclusion that really you have an obligation to act now to try to protect yourself. There's trouble coming. It's almost certain. I mean, I can't give you a prophecy, but you look around. You know, in the Bible it says there's, you know, if you can see the signs, you know, the leaves on the plant begin to just barely bud out, the plant begins to bud and the buds become tender, and it tells you that spring is just about here. There are signs, and we're trying to present those signs, and we're just saying, look, here's a sign, here's a sign, here's a sign. Here's leaves blowing in the breeze. Now we're beginning to see maybe 2x4s blowing in the breeze. It tells you something, and hopefully it will convince you people to do what you need to do to protect yourselves.
We might have to increase it to 2x6s.
2x6s? Don't release you. It's the telephone poles. It's the telephone poles and the trees complete with their root system. All right? When they start flying through the air, you better hang on to your hats, folks, because it's going to get very difficult.
We got 10 minutes left now.
Not quite. 8.5.
Oh, jeez.
All right. That's 90 seconds, Melody. This is radio. You got to
tell you what, if I was
in seconds.
Huh? Anyway, the only other thing I wanted to talk about today, of course, you know, we know Donald Trump has come out, and we're going to talk a little bit of politics. Donald Trump came out, and he says he's afraid the election is going to be rigged. You have President Obama speaking in Singapore today, I believe he was, talking about how unfit and unprepared Donald Trump is for the presidency.
Unlike Barack Obama, he was well prepared when he came in.
Yes. And you know, it's. And I get so much information from everyone's different perspective on everything. And it's so divided out there. And the media, it's just amazing how this media has taken over this election. I think more so than any time before. You know, maybe when we were back in other years, we might have said the same thing, but I think it's even more so now. You're beginning to see, I don't understand what's going on with, you know, some of the things that comes out of Donald Trump's lips. I don't know, Al. It's
Trump is certainly a loose cannon, and he's going to end up shooting himself.
People.
His cannon is going to shoot him.
That frightens people. That he is the
loose
cannon.
Well, it does raise questions about people's competency and the rest of it. You know, people expect that if you're going to talk about something, you should have some grasp of the subject matter, and you shouldn't absolutely make all kinds of stupid mistakes on a fairly regular basis. Well, I'm not saying that Trump has made all kinds of stupid mistakes on a regular basis. But you cannot accuse Trump for being overly politically correct, right? I don't think he knows what politically correct means. If he does, it's not something he cares about. He shoots from the hip and says what he wants to say. And it's part of the reason he endeared himself to the American people initially. But it's also part of the reason why, if he's not careful, he's going to throw the election into Hillary Clinton's corner, because he doesn't sometimes know when to shut his mouth, right? We all have peculiar ideas, and it may be that I have biases or you have biases or anybody in the audience, we have little biases that we may not want to speak about in public. Trump doesn't seem to have that inhibition. And sometimes it's contrary to his own interest, and it's not presidential. You know, it's like I was talking earlier we used to be able to think of ourselves as the good guys. Right or wrong, we could think of ourselves as the good guys. Can we really think of ourselves, can we claim this America is the home of the brave and the free and the good guys? I don't think we can make that claim anymore. I think it's been neutered, at least for now, by our own government. We have behaved like a bunch of Nazi thugs in some instances. And some people recognize it, some people deny it, but I think we're going to see it. And more generally, as we do, it'll demoralize people in the same way that Germany was demoralized after World War II and Japan was demoralized after World War II. You got to face up. You're making big mistakes. Can't just hide out, justify, and, you know, come up with theories to justify whatever you've been doing. You got to admit, look, we've been screwing up by the numerals. Now it's time to get back and do what's right. All right? Grasp, regain some sort of moral foundation and a system of values that we can basically all generally agree on. We'll quibble about the details. Something we can all agree on, say this is right and that's wrong, and we're not going to do what's wrong. Right now, we've got a system that protects what's wrong. We're giving them special rights, and these people are entitled to things that they've never earned. And I'm not just talking about blacks or people on welfare. I'm talking about people like Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. They allegedly left the White House flat broke, and now I've heard something like $160 million, thanks to the Clinton Foundation. Where did that come from? She's not flipping hamburgers down at McDonald's in her spare time, holding down a second job. She and Bill have been hustling, conning, and extorting money from people and trading it maybe for treasonous acts. It's got to stop. We have to regain our sense of indignity. Outrage, all right? We have to gain a sense of a moral outrage where we just say, you are out of here because you have broken fundamental rules and we're not going to just laugh and grin at you, which is what we do with the Clintons. They should have been thrown out of office and tossed in jail years ago. And yet here we got one of them and another one is running for the White House. This is not just incomprehensible. It is shameful for the American people. How did Trump get there? How did Trump become the candidate? He became the candidate because the rank and file members of the Republican Party are sick and tired of all the damn stunts that have been pulled by the Republican elite who think they're the masters of the universe and they can push people around and use them any way they want. And this arrogance is endemic in our political system. And something's got to be done. And we're doing that, maybe. I mean, this is why Trump is here. May not be the best candidate in the world, but on the other hand, he is at least a thumb in the eye of all the people who think they're running this country, and maybe we can tell them, no, you're not. And you're not going to keep running the country for your benefit. You're going to have to start to run the country for the benefit of the majority of the American people. Well, I don't know. We certainly live in interesting times. And this is not, whatever's going on in this election, I don't think this is going to end with the election in November. I think we're just getting fired up. I think we're going to see differences and disputes and conflicts as we try to figure out what's right and what's wrong in this country again, and then come to some sort of a consensus and enforce it. Let every SOB in the Congress, in the White House, in the federal courts, in the state legislatures, and so on, make them understand you're going to obey the law. You're going to stop using government as a hog trough that's just in where you are entitled to feed and we're obligated to keep filling it full of our wealth and our work. Something's happening here, and I'm looking for, on one level, it's not going to be fun, it's not going to be funny, but I think it's maybe a good thing. I think it has to happen. We're out of time, Melody.
It has to happen.
Yeah, it has to happen. Every program has to happen.
It has to happen.
Yep. I'm Alfred Adesker with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.